Welcome, folks, to the latest episode of the Basketball Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you're one of our loyal listeners, thank you for listening to this podcast. You're subscribed on your favorite listening platform. We appreciate that. If you're new to the podcast, thanks for checking us out. In this podcast, we talk about the NBA. Only the NBA. Nothing but the NBA. And no, we don't talk about statistics and PER and plus minus and all that other garbage that's made up. No, no, no. We talk about the truth. We talk about the truth. If you haven't listened to my latest episode, or the most recent episode, I should say, we talked about Greg Popovich and why he's overrated. And I need to clarify a couple of things from that. I've gotten hundreds of emails from loyal listeners with a lot of backlash to some of my points that I made about old Charles Gregory, or Gregory Charles, whatever the heck his name is. So I want to clarify some of that for you. That'll be my first segment. And then we're going to jump into my picks for MVP and Rookie of the Year so far through the season. If you didn't know, we're already about 25% of the way through the season. Close to it. About a quarter of the way through. It's December, so we're about a quarter of the way through. And I want to talk about which players are standing out, which ones aren't. I'm going to add a link in the description of this podcast to an article on NBA.com, and it's the Kia MVP ladder. And I'm going to be referencing that to kind of help guide the conversation, because honestly, that whole article is ludicrous and it's bananas, and the fact that that's even published on NBA.com is ludicrous. So I always like to critique stuff, and so I'm going to critique that article and the idiot that wrote it. And sir, if you're listening, if the idiot that wrote it is listening to this, thank you so much for subscribing. And then, of course, at the end, we have our mailbag. We have to jump into the mailbag. We've got some juicy mailbag questions in this episode. I'm excited to get into that. But first, we got to talk about Greg Popovich. I got to clarify some of those points. Oh, but before that, here's a word from our supporting sponsor. So before we begin getting to the meat and bones, I should say, of this podcast episode, I do have to address my most recent episode where I critique Greg Popovich and call him out and say he's a fraud and he's not a good coach. Listen, I don't know Gregory Charles personally. There's a lot of things about Greg that I respect. He and I don't see eye to eye on every topic. We don't see eye to eye on his coaching style, but that's okay because he's not going to me for advice. He should be. I have some good advice for him. But when I look at the numbers, and again, maybe that's my issue, is I'm looking at numbers. When I look at the numbers, Greg Popovich is poo-poo when he doesn't have a Hall of Famer on his team. Statistical evidence shows that Gregory Charles is poo-poo when he doesn't have a Hall of Famer on his team. There's also just some quirks about Greg that some people like, some people don't. Somewhat divisive when he gives short answers to reporters. But just so that everyone understands, I'm not biased against Greg Popovich. I love when he's short with reporters. I don't like the media either, Greg. I love when you're short with them and you stick it to them. Good for you. Stick to your guns. I love his activism. He says some stuff sometimes and he critiques some people that I don't necessarily agree with, but good for him. He's outspoken. He sticks with his beliefs. I respect that. There is an article that I came across recently where apparently Greg Popovich yelled at his team in front of a homeless man. And I was going to reference that in the last episode, and I didn't, because after I read the article, I realized that it's clickbait. But I do want to take the next 2 minutes just to describe to you how stupid of an article this is, just to really help you understand the stupidity of this particular article. It really doesn't have anything to do with my opinion of Greg Popovich, but I came across it. This is my platform to call out stupidity. It's kind of related to the NBA, so here we go. It's by Barstool Sports, and honestly, as soon as I say that, I'm already embarrassed that I clicked on an article by Barstool Sports. It's like clicking on one of those pop-ups for, I don't know, a free PlayStation from some clickbait website. This came across Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, wherever it came across, and it was sponsored, and I didn't see who it was from, and it said Greg Popovich. And I thought it said Greg Popovich yelled at a homeless man, so that's my fault too. I misread the headline, but the headline is so freaking long that it's no wonder I misread it. But of course, it's by Barstool Sports. I'm embarrassed to say that I clicked on a Barstool Sports article. If you want to talk about the scum of the earth, go to barstoolsports.com. Barstoolsports.com, where the scum of the earth get their sports news. When you go to barstoolsports.com, at the top, in their main menu bar where you can see their various categories and different the different pages that are available on their website. On the left-hand side, they have the Barstool Sports logo, and then directly next to it is Barstool Sports Chicks. You want to talk about a way to the best articulation of the scum of the earth that I can come across is a website that puts out softcore porn just to make money. That's BarstoolSports.com. Barstool Sports Chicks. We're selling clicks for softcore porn. Good for you, Barstool Sports. Keep doing what you're doing. You are definitely contributing to a better society. All right, now that I've gotten off that particular rant about Barstool Sports, let's get into the actual article. The title of this article is Greg Popovich once asked a homeless Sacramento man on a park bench if he could scream at the Spurs in front of him. Holy God, that is a long headline. That is a long title to an article. If you've ever watched The Office, it makes me think of that episode where Michael Scott is going to come out with a headline where he says, Dunder Mifflin Scranton Paper Company, some people still know how to do business, apologizes for... Yeah, it's that big, giant, long headline that would never fit on a newspaper. Well, now that we've moved to digital media, you can have a headline as long as you freaking want it. So, of course, I misread the headline and thought it said Greg Popovich screams at a homeless man. And I thought, that's interesting. And honestly, it's something that I could potentially see happening. Greg Popovich screams at a homeless man. For what? Why did he scream at him? So I click on it. It's by some guy named Riggs. That's the only name he has on here is Riggs. So that's trendy. And apparently there was some, this is the most clickbait thing I've ever done in my entire life. I click on this article and it's not even by Barstool Sports. It's them reporting on someone else's report. So The Athletic came out with some story, The Athletic, about how Greg Popovich impacts players. And some of his former players reminisce on a time where Greg Popovich got them off the bus in Sacramento, took them into a park, and yelled at them. And in that story, one small little detail is that there happened to be a homeless guy sitting there, and Greg Popovich walked up to the guy and said, we're going to have a meeting real quick. The article could have been completely written without any of the mention of a homeless person. There's no reason to even mention that there's a homeless person in this story, because the contribution of the homeless person was really nothing. The story is really that Greg Popovich took his team off the bus and yelled at them, called them out. And the beauty of that is that Greg Popovich is approachable and he's able to connect with his players and call them out on things that they need to improve on. It has nothing to do with Greg Popovich yelling at them in front of a homeless man. Like, it's just, I'm embarrassed. So this is my confession, public confession and apology. I promise to never click on a BarstoolSports.com article ever again. Part of my brain has died just from reading this article again, clicking on this article. Part of my brain has died because of this. So, on to NBA MVP and Rookie of the Year picks. Here we go. Let's jump into NBA MVP and Rookie of the Year conversation. We're about 25% of the way through the season. So I want to talk about who my MVP pick is and who my Rookie of the Year pick is. I'll just go out and say it so far. MVP is Luka. Is there any other debate? Can there be any other choice so far? I read an article on NBA.com. It's the Kia MVP ladder. I'll add a link to it, the latest article in the description of this podcast. There's also a rookie ladder article. I'll link that as well. But I read this Kia MVP ladder, and the analyst, the expert, the media expert from NBA.com, he has his top five picks for MVP listed in order. Giannis, then LeBron, then Kemba Walker, then Luka, and finally James Harden is fifth. I'm okay with Giannis being number one. That's a fine pick. LeBron is not number two. LeBron is playing alongside of Anthony Davis. They have two of the best five players in the league on their team. He's not MVP. I'm not doing this again with LeBron. His numbers are good. 25.8 points, 11 assists, 7.3 boards, 1.3 steals. All of Luka's numbers are better than those, except for rebounds. He's getting one rebound less. Luka's getting more steals than LeBron. Luka is getting more steals than LeBron. LeBron's also 34. Luka's like 21, so good for him. Good for LeBron. He's still producing. But I'm sorry. LeBron is not... He can't be the number two pick. Luka is having clearly the best year of any player. And when I think of MVP, the criteria I use... And here's... Let me articulate my criteria. Because this article doesn't articulate criteria. There's some unique choices in here. This article goes on to list basically the 15 players in order 1 through 15 for MVP. And anything after 5, anything after 3 really isn't relevant. There's really no criteria in here for analyzing which player should be up there. If we're talking the criteria that I use for MVP, what impact does this player have every night on their team's wins and on their team's losses? Which player is most valuable to that team's success? You can argue Giannis is the most valuable player on his team, no doubt. Night in and night out, he's getting the points, he's getting the rebounds, he's getting the assists. He also happens to have a very quality deep roster. Well, not a super deep roster, but they have a quality starting five. And a couple of decent players coming off the bench. That helps. LeBron is not the best player on the court every night for his team. He has Anthony Davis on his team. I just can't say LeBron is the second best player, the second most valuable player to his team. I cannot say that, especially this year with Anthony Davis. They also have a very solid, deep roster. Avery Bradley, Danny Green, Rondo, Kyle Kuzma, Dwight Howard is playing well. JaVale McGee is playing well. They have a solid, deep roster. You could even argue that KCP is playing well, and I don't think I would have ever said that on this podcast. LeBron is not the second. He can't be MVP. Luka's MVP. But what really gets me is that this guy, this brilliant, wonderful gentleman, if you're listening, sir, thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe. This guy put Kemba Walker at third. Here's Kemba's numbers. 22.3 points, 4.7 boards, 4.6 assists. Don't get me wrong. He had a really good game last week, and he moved up the ladder because of that, because he scored 39 points on the Nets. His numbers still aren't good. 22.3 points, 4.7 boards, 4.6 assists. Those are not MVP numbers. Those are not MVP numbers. He has other players on his team night in and night out that are getting just as good of numbers. I get that he's the leader on the team. Maybe you could say that he's the leader. The Celtics look so much better with him on the roster and on the court than they did last year with Kyrie. But that doesn't mean that he's MVP. I would have put James Harden ahead of Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker shouldn't be in the top five. It's ridiculous. Luka Doncic is the best player this year. My criteria is, what impact does this player have night in and night out on that team's performance? Luka is the Mavericks right now. He is the Mavericks. Don't get me wrong. The Mavericks have a decent roster. And I say decent hesitantly. They have Kristaps Porzingis, but he doesn't seem to be fully back from his injury here. He's still trying to get his footing. He hasn't played in like a year and a half. So he's coming around. He's looked a little bit better the last couple of weeks. They are starting Dorian Finney-Smith. He's actually a solid player. I've liked him so far this season. He plays good defense. He can hit corner threes. Luke is their best player. He's getting 30 points a game, 10 boards a game, 9.5 assists a game, and 1.5 steals a game. He is the team. There's no debate about it. We saw the Bucks win a lot of games last year. We did not see the Mavericks win a lot of games last year. And if we look at the standings right now, today, the Mavericks are fourth. They're fourth in the West at 13-6. Oh, Luka is the clear MVP so far. I'm baffled that this person still has a job and is still allowed to write for NBA.com, that they would put Kemba Walker ahead of Luka and James Harden. Just to give James Harden credit, I understand that he has Russell Westbrook on his team, but everyone knows how I feel about Russell Westbrook. He's not a top 20 player in this league anymore. He gets empty numbers. James Harden, 37.7 points per game, 7.8 assists per game, 6.1 rebounds a game, 1.6 steals per game. Again, all much better than Kemba Walker. I'm baffled that this guy is allowed to write articles. My pick is Luka. It's clear cut. He's MVP. If he keeps these numbers up and if the Mavericks perform, if they progress or they continue to get the same numbers that they're getting right now and they end up with a, what would it be, like a 24 losses and 58 wins. 58 and 24 is awesome for them. That's incredible. Let's just move on. Rookie of the Year. Caught a lot of flack a couple of episodes ago because I voted Devontae Graham as my Rookie of the Year. Yes, I understand this is his second year in the league. I still just don't understand how Blake Griffin and Ben Simmons are allowed to win Rookie of the Year in their second year in the league. I don't care if he happened to play last year. I still think he's deserving of it. I think he's the best second-year rookie in the league. In this article, they have Ja Morant at number one, Tyler Hero at number two, Kendrick Nunn at number three, Eric Pascal from the Golden State Warriors at number four. I think it's Pascal, but it's spelled Pascal. And RJ Barrett is number five. Yikes. Listen, we need Zion back because Zion is supposed to be the best player from this draft. Kobe White is horrendous. Can I take a minute just to say that? Kobe White is horrendous. I don't see this guy being in the league in 4 years. Honestly, he's going to play out his rookie contract in the next 3 years, and he's going to be gone. He is not good. He's undersized. He can't score. He scores 30 points one night, and then he gets negative points the next night. It's terrible to watch. I pretty much agree with this guy's article. If I was going to pick a player, I would pick Tyler Hero. When I'm evaluating rookies, it's just a little different than MVP. When I look at MVP, I obviously take into consideration the team's record. I'm not going to vote for someone. When Westbrook won MVP that year, he got a triple-double. In the first year he averaged a triple-double, his team was also garbage. So they were eighth in the West. They weren't garbage, but they were not a top four team. I think in order for you to be MVP, you have to also be on a team that's top four. That criteria does hold a little bit for Rookie of the Year as well, but I'm not as focused on how well is the team performing, but I do consider that in my criteria. So I want to see good numbers, but I also want to see contribution to a winning team. Ja Morant can go out there and score 25 points a game, but the Grizzlies are going to stink. He's their option. He is their option. So if he's not going out there scoring 35, that's where I'm like, well, he's scoring 20, but they're not very good. Shouldn't he be scoring like 35 a game? If he's the only guy on the team that can do anything, and if he's really that good, he should be scoring 35. If I see a guy that's scoring 18 points a game and contributing on a good team, that gives me a little bit more incentive to vote for them because they're good enough to break into the rotation on a playoff team as a rookie. They're making a contribution to a successful team. And so some of this is circumstantial, like no offense to Ja, but he just was put on a bad team. But I'm not going to vote for the best player on a terrible team for anything. If he's that good, if he's one of the best players, if he's Rookie of the Year, he's got to be helping his team win. And I think he does. Don't get me wrong. He's awesome to watch. He has these incredible drives, hard drives to the basket. He can jam the ball. He's got a pretty good shot so far. If I'm voting, honestly, I would vote Tyler Hero so far. The dude has been lights out. He's playing very well. He's been scoring very well. Kendrick Nunn has had a pretty good rookie season so far as well. But he's starting to regress a little bit in his shooting, not putting up great numbers. So I think he's still riding some of that early beginning of the season numbers that he put up where he had a couple of incredible games. These other guys, though, the guy from the Golden State Warriors, worst team in the league. The only reason he's getting good numbers is because he's on the worst team in the league and they're playing him. That's why I hate RJ Barrett. No, sorry, RJ, you're on the Knicks. You're terrible. You don't get to be Rookie of the Year if you're on a bad team. If you're that good, you have to be able to make an impact to get some wins for your team. If the Grizzlies happen to get close to 500, that's where I would consider Ja as Rookie of the Year. But right now, the Grizzlies are 6-14. If their win percentage at the end of the year is 300, that's not good. And I'm not going to vote for a guy Rookie of the Year just because he happened to get a couple more points and a couple more rebounds and a couple more assists than a guy that was playing 20 minutes a game contributing on the number 3 team in the East. That's just all there is to it. Those are my picks. MVP is Luka. We don't even need to talk about that anymore. And Rookie of the Year is, right now, Tyler Hero. We'll see what continues to happen. Again, I think that if Ja can get those... If he can continue to get good numbers, and if he can get his team to win some games, he's got to take over games at this point. He's been in the league now for 20 games. He knows what he needs to do. Take it over. Start to win those close games. Start to keep your team in the game. If they can get up above 300, get closer to 500, he would get my vote. And then, of course, when Zion comes back, he's going to blow everything up, and he's going to be Rookie of the Year. So we'll just have to see what happens. It's time for our mailbag segment. We've got quite a few questions in the mailbag. If you happen to have a question, send it to us at thebasketballpc@gmail.com. I say that every single episode. Just send me an email with your questions. Here's the first question. Which teams will make the 8th and final spot in the playoffs in each conference? So who's going to be the 8th seed in each conference? Let's start with the West. This is an easy one. It's going to be the Blazers because Melo's back. Western Conference Player of the Week. He's going to be MVP. They're going to make the playoffs. They're 8-12. They've lost more games than they've won with him on the team already, but it's going to be them. He's going to get into the playoffs. He's going to get one more chance. In the East. Oh, gosh. Who knows? The East is such a dumpster fire. I think it's going to be the Nets. I think they're going to slip down and get the last spot. Might take some late season heroics from Kyrie. Maybe they just pack it in this year and wait for KD next year. I don't know. It's going to be them or the Magic. It's between those two. I don't think any of the other teams that are in the East that currently aren't in the playoff picture. So we're looking at out of the playoffs today. If playoffs started today, here's the teams that would be excluded from the playoffs. In order, the Hornets, Pistons, Bulls, Wizards, Cavs, Hawks, and Knicks. We can go ahead and clearly say that the Bulls, Wizards, Cavs, Hawks, and Knicks are not going to make the playoffs. The Pistons, maybe. They might sneak in a few games here and there. They might win a few. They're only a game and a half back from the 8th seed. Same thing with the Hornets. I like Detroit's chances a little bit more than the Hornets because I like the coach for the Pistons a little bit more. And I also think that having quality veterans on your team, which is what Detroit has, I think that's important for you to be able to make the playoffs. Not that the Hornets don't have quality veterans, but they don't. They have Cody Zeller. So I don't think the Hornets are going to make it. But I could potentially see the Pistons sneaking in there. But ultimately, I think the Magic and the Nets. I think the 8 teams that are currently slated for the playoffs are going to make the playoffs this year. Barring some horrific injury to one of the best players on those teams. If all those teams continue to stay healthy, I think they're going to make the playoffs. So I think that conference is already pretty well set. I think that's pretty indicative of what's going to happen in that conference. So great question. Thanks for the question. Next question in the mailbag. Well, this is a good one. Can James Harden's performance be correlated with the quality of strip clubs in the city that he's playing at? Yes. Next question. Was Carmelo Anthony's Player of the Week award just a welcome back Melo award? That's a great question. Let's dig into the numbers. Last week, Melo in 3 games scored 25 points, 19 points, 23 points. He also had 8 boards, 4 boards, 11 boards. He had a couple of assists in each game. From a percentage standpoint, shot the ball well from the field in all 3 of those games. Even from 3-point percentage, shot the ball well. limited turnovers as well, played a lot of minutes in those games. I do think that that award is partially welcome back to the NBA Melo. I do also think that if you get three wins, especially for a team like the Blazers, they had just lost three in a row. He also played pretty poorly in those three losses. So for him to have three good games in a row all within the same week, I don't think he's undeserving of it. There's going to be other players that are probably better suited to win that award, but for them to go 3-0 that week and for him to be the best player on the court for them, or one of the best players on the court for them, those three games, I don't think he's undeserving of it. So, no, I don't necessarily think it's a welcome back Melo type thing, but it is also. So it is and it isn't. I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm the one I'm the one that comes up with the answer, so I don't care if you like that answer or not. It was and it wasn't a welcome back Melo award. Next question. Will the Warriors draft LaMelo Ball? Will the Warriors draft LaMelo Ball? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Warriors are going to get the number one pick, and I think they're going to trade it. I think they're going to find someone that wants to trade up and take that number one spot. I think someone out there is going to want LaMelo Ball, or they're going to want someone like Cole Anthony. I do think that there's a team out there that's looking at the Warriors thinking, what can we give them for the number one pick? And I think the Warriors are going to deal the number one pick. When we look at their roster, once they come back and they're healthy, they'll have Steph, they'll have Klay, D'Angelo Russell, Draymond Green. Those are all good players. They're getting some good experience with their young guys now, too. I just don't think that if you add the number one overall player from this upcoming draft to that team, it's not going to necessarily push you over the edge. So they're either going to have to blow their team up and take the number one pick, or they're going to have to trade that pick and get back quality players. And that's where I would see that happening. They might do a package deal where they deal D'Angelo or where they deal Draymond Green, and it's like a three-team deal where they get some veterans back for the pick and for Draymond, build out their depth a little bit better. I could see it playing out that way. So no, I don't think the Warriors are going to take LaMelo Ball with the number one pick. I think that if they had the number one pick and they kept the number one pick, I also don't think that they would take LaMelo Ball. I just don't think that LaMelo is going to get the... I don't think LaMelo is going to go number one strictly because of his dad. I just don't think any team is going to want to take him number one overall, knowing that LaVar Ball is still alive and still exists. Especially a team like the Warriors. Like, if it was the Timberwolves, maybe, because we've seen what happens to LaVar when his kid goes to a small market team. But if it's the Warriors, no. On the same team as Steph, no. No way would they do that. LaVar Ball would have an aneurysm from all of his celebration. So no, I don't think the Warriors are going to take LaMelo. I think they're going to package him, or the pick, I should say. They're going to package that pick and Draymond or D'Angelo Russell, turn it around for some veterans, build out some depth, try again to see if they can get a championship or at least get back into the playoffs, be a better team with Steph, with Klay still on. Deals. They signed Klay to a 5-year deal. Like, they're very clearly set on trying to make another run at the playoffs at a championship. So no, I don't think that they're going to take that pick. How many times do I have to say that? Okay, final question. Which NBA coach is most like Michael Scott from the NBC sitcom The Office? This is an excellent question. It's hard to answer this because there's just so many different versions of Michael Scott. We have the version where Michael Scott is kind of a misogynist. And I think that that clearly relates to Luke Walton. So sometimes Luke Walton is Michael Scott. There's other times where Michael Scott wishes to be both feared and loved. He wants people to be so afraid of how much they love him. And to me, that's clearly I was going to say a Brad Stevens, but kind of, that might be a Steve Kerr also, or a Greg Popovich. Could be all of those guys. But mostly, Michael Scott is just sheer and purely incompetent. And so that clearly associates closest with Jim Boylan of the Chicago Bulls. Jim, congratulations. You are the closest thing to Michael Scott the NBA has ever seen from a sheer incompetence standpoint. Close second runner-up would be Tyronn Lue if he was still a head coach, but of course he's not. So sorry, Tyronn. All right, that concludes our mailbag. All right, that's it. This episode is over. Thanks for listening to it. If you're new to the podcast, be sure to subscribe on your favorite listening platform. Follow us on Twitter at TheBasketballPC. Send us an email at TheBasketballPC@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time on The Basketball Podcast.